Hi, I'm Rhett Power, and I want to introduce you to Hedimentals, our new book. My co-authors are with me today, Dr. Susie Burke and Ryan Berman. We wrote Hedimentals because everywhere we went as coaches and everybody that we worked with, boardrooms, startups, classrooms, we kept seeing the same pattern. People weren't failing because they didn't have strategy or skill. They were stuck because of what was happening between their ears. The real battles weren't external or with customers or in the market. They were internal, right? They were between your ears. And Hedimentals is about mastering that voice, not to silence it, but to direct it, to turn it into an opportunity and into a competitive advantage and to help you build great teams.
So the way the Hedimentals breaks down, it's broken down into four parts. There's the problem, which is, again, we've talked a little bit about what's going on inside your mind, but there's also a macro issue right now. It's something that I call the worry war. And we've always had worry wars. And I would even say we've been in many worry wars where worry war one was the pandemic, which I'm not sure if we ever won that war, by the way. Here we are now in worry war two. And worry war two is the cost of eggs, and here comes AI, and empathy erosion at work, and what might our government say, and how it spins us out, and a divided States of America. If worry war one was a pandemic, which really was an isolation illness, worry war two is pandemonium. It is all these things that are sort of forcing us, nudging us, spiraling us out, and each of us are dealing with it in our own way. You layer on what we said to ourselves when we were kids, what our parents might have said to us, things that have stuck with us in our brains, and you can sort of see why we're spiraling. You can see where the self-talk comes from. Think about the voice inside your head. Like, where does that voice actually come from? Who gave you that voice? That voice is now triggering how you show up in different situations. So you've got this macro thing on the outside world called the worry war that's very, very real. And you've got these things that are happening on the inside. Sometimes it's being triggered by what's going on outside in the world right now. Like for me, like we don't turn the news on that much anymore. I hate that I admit that, but it just spirals me when I watch it. And then my own mind might spiral myself out. Something that happened to me as a kid that I see as a belief about me, even to this age. I'm almost a 50-year-old man, and I can still feel sometimes things that happened to me when I was a kid still spiraling me out. And you got what's going on inside your mind right now. And this is why we've got this self-talk. And sometimes we don't share, and sometimes it's holding our teams and ourselves back.
I'm Dr. Susie Burke. Rhett and Ryan spoke about the fact that self-talk is the hidden saboteur of leadership. Here's a second insight. Every leader has a monster. The best learn to tame it. And here's the truth no one tells you about being a leader. The hardest part isn't the market pressure. It's not the late nights, the impossible deadlines, or even your fiercest competitor. It's the voice in your head, the one that makes you rewrite an email at midnight because of how it might land, the one that makes you pause before you speak, even when you're the expert in the room, the one that turns every compliment into a question mark, the one that whispers or sometimes roars, "You don't belong." And here's the kicker. That voice doesn't just shape your day. It shapes everything. It determines whether you share your thoughts in that high-stakes meeting or let the moment pass, whether you inspire confidence or let doubt leak into the room with that saying word, whether your team feels a calm, steady presence or the weight of uncertainty hanging in the air. It shapes the culture your team breathes every single day, what gets celebrated, what gets overlooked, and what never gets said out loud. So if you want a team that's bold, resilient, and innovative, it doesn't start with your strategy. It doesn't start with your offsite. It starts with a conversation happening in your head. That's your monster. And almost every leader we know has one. What matters isn't whether it exists, because it does. And we can't change that. What matters is whether it's in charge. Because when your monster speaks, your team listens. And your self-talk becomes team talk. According to the National Science Foundation, we have up to 60,000 thoughts a day, and 80% of them are negative. Worse, 95% are repetitive. That's 48,000 mental reruns of doubt every single day. Given that reality, it shouldn't be a surprise that most of us wrestle with imposter syndrome at some point in our lives. 62% worldwide, 71% in the US, If you're a high achiever, the percent is even greater. So if that describes you, you're in really good company. Albert Einstein, one of the greatest scientific minds in history, once confessed that he felt like an involuntary swindler. Just think about that for a moment. The man who reshaped our understanding of the universe worried that he was faking it. Sonia Sotomayor, the first Hispanic Supreme Court justice, has also admitted to feeling like a fraud. As she once said in a speech, "I'm always looking over my shoulder, wondering if I measure up." And Howard Schultz, three-time CEO of Starbucks, admits, "Very few people get into the CEO seat and truly believe they belong." If Einstein can doubt his brain, Sotomayor can doubt her success, and Schultz can doubt his right to the corner office, then self-doubt isn't a glitch. It's the default. And your monster? It doesn't care about your resume, your titles, or your trophies. It knows just how to push your buttons. It's been training for decades. Here's a third insight. Your mindset isn't fixed. It's programmable. And you are the programmer. And to program it, it's important to understand why we're plagued by our monsters in the first place. The answer is quite simple. It's evolution. Our brains are wired for survival, not growth. Our brain's default mode fixates on past threats to help us avoid future danger. It's a mental time machine, replaying things that hurt you in the past so that you can avoid repeating them. If you got laughed at for speaking up in class, your brain filed that away. Now when you're thinking about speaking up in a meeting, that same voice might whisper, "Don't." If your first boss pounced on every small slip, your inner critic learned that imperfection equals incompetence. Years later, it still sounds the alarm. One mistake, and they'll see you don't belong. Conventional wisdom casts your inner critic as a bully, something to ignore, suppress, or conquer. But we've come to believe that our monsters are trying to protect us, not destroy us. Thinking about it, the moment you step outside what's familiar, giving tough feedback, launching a bold idea, taking on a new role, you invite risk, vulnerability. That's when your monster pipes up, "Don't. You are not ready. What if you fail?" But staying safe trades impact for comfort, progress for predictability. And here's the irony. True psychological safety doesn't come from avoiding risks. It comes from knowing that you can take them and still be okay. That mistakes aren't death sentences, they're data points. So don't try to ignore your monster. Get curious about it. In Head of Mentals, we share a tool to reframe negative self-talk in real time. We call it the 3C method. Catch, confront, change. It's a simple form of cognitive reframing. It's the cornerstone of cognitive behavioral therapy, pioneered by psychologist Aaron Beck in the 1960s. At its core, it's built on one simple truth. The way you think about something shapes how you feel about it, and that shapes how you act. We've all been there. You know you need to have a hard conversation, but the story you tell yourself is, this will only end in conflict. So instead of leaning in, you pull back. The anxiety wins, problem festers instead of being resolved. Or maybe you're about to give a presentation and your monster whispers, "This is going to be a disaster." What happens? Your nerves spike, you rush through the slides, and your audience never gets the chance to connect with you. But here's the thing. When you recreate the story, you change the outcome. If you see setbacks not as proof that you're failing, but as invitations to grow, feedback stops feeling like a criticism and starts feeling confidence. That's the power of changing the conversation in your head. The truth is, you often can't control what happens to you. What you can control is how you think about it and how you respond. This is the essence of cognitive reframing, our antidote to negative self-talk. Our brains are wired for it. They're built to grow, to stretch, to be reshaped by what we learn and live through. The first step in our 3C method is to catch yourself when your mind is whispering, or perhaps shouting, that you're not smart enough or tough enough to succeed at whatever you're trying to do. But you've got a secret weapon. It's your emotions. They're not the enemy. They're the alarm system, the first indicator that the monster's moving in. Anxiety often presents itself in the body before it registers in the mind. And when your emotions alert you to the fact that your monster's in the house, tune in instead of pushing past them. They aren't random. Take the time to identify the counterproductive thought that's bubbling up just under the surface. Catching your monster is only step one. The real shift happens when you confront it, and that's step two. For most people, this is the hardest step because you have to challenge your monster with facts that prove it wrong. That means asking tough questions and not settling for easy answers. Where's this coming from? What old tape am I playing? Is what I'm thinking actually true? The final step in our 3C model is to change the narrative you're telling yourself. This is where the magic happens. You don't defang your monster by pretending it isn't there. Research shows it's the other way around. You beat it by reframing the story it tells you. And that takes honesty, not hollow affirmations. A braver, more valid story you can actually stand on. The 3C method doesn't magically erase doubt, but it does give you the tools to rewrite the script. And once you change the story you tell yourself, you'll show up differently in every room you're in.
You know, what's really interesting about sports is that coaches say you practice 95% of the time for the 5% of the time that you actually get to play. And in business, it is almost entirely the opposite. I mean, think about how long your orientation phase is as a company. You're like given like an hour of orientation to find out where you're supposed to go. And then you're handed a weapon for the wars of business, and practice is over and you're supposed to figure this out. And when we look at the practice section of our book, it's all about training. It's all about retraining your brain, giving you what you need to deal with this thing called self-talk. That's where we got the name Hedimentals from. They're actual Hedimentals that you can run through, and it runs you through any type of simulation so that when you see it, you can catch it, you can confront it, and you can change it. Now, when we looked at the actual, what do we need to retrain our brain on? We landed on 5 different saboteurs. Okay, these are monster archetypes that are holding us back. We call them CAMOs. CAMOs is an acronym, but it's an acronym for camouflage, because really these are the fitting 5 cognitive distortions that are concealing your truth or camouflaged on what might be holding you back. Again, we cover these in great detail in the book, but just to give you a little bit of color, CAMO stands for the catastrophizer. That's the person that always assumes the worst will happen, even though it probably won't. We're turning small bumps into full-blown disasters. That's the C, catastrophizer. A is the always righter. We know these people. That's the person that has to be right no matter what. They listen to win the argument, but maybe they don't really understand what's going on there. Always have to be right. The M is the mind reader. They're actually jumping into your brain, trying to tell you what you're thinking even before you know what you're thinking. And usually it's the worst kind, right? And rarely are they checking the facts. So that's the M. The O of CAMOs is the overgeneralizer. Takes one bad thing and it paints everything with it. Loves words like always and never and everyone. Again, overgeneralizations in all directions. And the final, the S of CAMOs, is the shoulder. It's the shoulder. It's the person who lives by unrealistic shoulds and musts, and it just creates a ton of pressure. We put a ton of pressure on ourselves when we're not perfect. So this is CAMOs. Again, going through this section of the practice, it's all about running the Hedimentals with yourself, hopefully with your teams as well, so you can sort of see, what's my saboteur? Oh my goodness, I'm falling into the camp of I'm an overgeneralizer, or I'm a catastrophizer, or maybe you are an always writer.
In Hedimentals, we talk about something we call the Plutonium. It's one of my favorite ideas in the book, and it's based on a truth that every leader eventually discovers, that your self-talk is your most powerful, volatile energy source in your leadership. Like plutonium, it can power extraordinary growth, cause quiet, invisible damage if not handled correctly. And here's what I mean. Every day, there's a voice running in your head. It's evaluating, judging, predicting, doubting, encouraging, and it never stops. And as a leader or founder, that voice becomes the unseen soundtrack to your company. The way we speak to ourselves, that tone, that belief, that focus becomes the atmosphere everyone else breathes. And we tend to think of our thoughts as private, but they're really not. They leak out in our body language, our decisions, our energy, and especially how we communicate. When a founder walks into a room and he's full of stress, their teams don't just hear it, they feel it. And if your self-talk is full of fear, your team starts to operate out of fear. If your self-talk is reactive, your team becomes reactive. But if your self-talk is grounded in belief and clarity, then your team learns to respond the same way. And that's what we mean when we say self-talk impacts team talk. You can't create a calm, confident, accountable team if you're running a chaotic inner dialogue. And culture, look, culture starts in your head. It starts with what you say to yourself in those private moments before the big decision, before the big investor pitch, are the tough conversations. And I've worked with leaders who've built billion-dollar companies, and the best of them share one thing in common that I've noticed. Not just vision and not just grit, but discipline in their thinking. They don't let the wrong stories take root. They challenge their own narratives, and they're intentional about what they say to themselves because they know it shapes how they show up for everyone else. So when you hear us call this section the plutonium, remember, it's about the energy you generate. Plutonium can power cities or destroy them. Your mindset works in the same way. It can fuel your people with belief or poison them with doubt. The teams that are winning, the ones you look at and say, wow, they've got something special, they're not just on the same page strategically. They're on the same page emotionally and mentally. They've built shared language and a rhythm of confidence and clarity that amplifies everyone's performance. And that alignment, that's leadership plutonium. They have healthy team talk. When your self-talk and your team's talk are synced, you've created an unstoppable force. Thanks for spending some time with us and for diving into these ideas. Hedimentals was written for leaders who are ready to stop fighting the silent battles in their own minds and start mastering the inner conversations that define how they lead. Because the truth is, leadership isn't about how many people you manage or how many zeros are in your funding round. It's about how you manage yourself. It's how you manage your focus, your belief, your language. And if you can't lead in your mind, it's going to be hard for you to lead your team. What we want you to take away from this book is simple. You already have the most powerful performance system in the world, and that's your brain. You just need to learn how to program it intentionally. And that's what Hedimentals gives you, a framework to catch, challenge, and change the thoughts that hold you back. The leaders who thrive in chaos are the ones who have learned to tune out the noise, outside and inside, and focus on what moves them forward. They know how to separate fear from fact. They know when to question that little voice saying, you're not ready or you can't do this. And they replace it with one that says, let's go. The best part is when you start practicing that, when you model deliberate, confident self-talk, your team begins to mirror it. You'll see it in their meetings. You'll see it in their creativity. And you'll see how that comes out when they handle conflict and risk. So you're not just changing your mindset, you're rewiring the collective mindset of your organization. And that's the real win. Because strategy can change, markets can change, technology can change overnight. But the one thing that always gives you an advantage is a team that believes. So as you read Hedimentals, I hope you'll slow down long enough to listen to that voice in your head, learn to manage it, shape it, lead from it. Because when you master that inner conversation, everything else starts to fall into place. We hope you enjoy Hedimentals. And remember, the real breakthroughs don't happen in your company's strategy meetings. They happen in your head.